Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one of a kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah! It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Look at that! Here we are again in the Gold Dollar Classic Nitro Review, right?
Why?
Before we get to anything.
Right.
This week's show is fucking awful.
That's what I'm saying. Why?
Why? Genuinely sat here and the words, when Sam sat down, one of the first words out of his mouth was, should we just skip this one? And you know what? I nearly went, yeah. I nearly did.
It's confounding, this episode of Nitro. So I hope you're all ready. I hope you've all watched it or you're going to watch it because Jesus Christ.
If this is your first time here, this is the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review.
Hello and welcome.
Where we watch every episode of Nitro, whether they want to or not. Who be we? I be fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell. I am with the clickiest man in existence, Sam
Very
Driver.
Clicky. Hello, how are you doing?
WCW kid, Sam
What
Driver.
Day is it today?
What time of man?
It's Friday, isn't it?
We're recording this on a Friday.
Lovely, that's my Thursday.
Look at that, your Friday is your Thursday, because Saturday is your Friday.
Yeah.
And then your Sunday is your Saturday.
Yeah.
Bless
Which means
you.
My Monday is my Sunday.
Your Monday's your Sunday, yeah. Monday, the famous day of rest. Be assured that after we have recorded this episode, we will only have, let me check this, 1-2 left to do for the year. Exactly. We could have a little sleep over Christmas.
A little sleep over Christmas. Sleep Are you over fucking Christmas. Mad?
A little sleep over Christmas.
It's just, I might get a day's worth of sleeping if I'm lucky.
That's loads.
Yeah.
That's loads, that is.
I miss getting 8 hours a night. Missed that.
I think it went
wrong somewhere, Tom.
What,
everything
as,
just
as a,
just
as
life.
A people?
Life just went wrong. And now I get maybe 4 or 5 hours at best. Even if I'm in bed on time, you know?
You sit there and look at your phone and
well, I try not to, but it's just sort of like I don't know, man. I just feel like I'm sort of like an old tree. That's how I feel now. A withering old
like
tree.
The Deku tree. Yeah. In Ocarina of Time.
I'll just find a nice shady spot to sit down.
Baddies can crawl up in you.
Yeah, and I'll just let things crawl in my mouth.
Well, this is an optimistic start. You might notice the tone is slightly different for this one, but hey.
It's because we've got to relive it.
We've got to relive
it. By talking about it.
Relive the journey. Sometimes we find that the worse the episode is, the more fun we have. Let's put that to the test.
I mean, we've got quite the we got quite the thing to overcome with the hammer last week. And the thing is, you were right, because we were talking about it afterwards and you were like, we'll not remember this. And people will come up and ask us about it. Somebody was asking me about water-themed wrestling on stream the other week and I was like, what the fuck? That was 2 weeks ago. And I'm just like, hold on. Oh, yeah, shit. We were going to have a whole promotion that was just towed along by a boat.
As we always say, if sometimes you're a few weeks behind, and that's right because you're a normal person.
Yeah.
If you do want to chat to us about anything, just stick in a little reference point of like the episode.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a lovely message from somebody who just sent me a GIF of Roger Moore the other day, and I said, hey? I said, what's that for? And they went, oh, I heard you talking about James Bond a few weeks ago on one of the podcasts. I don't remember. Probably did, but I appreciate your attention to detail. You're paying attention if we're not.
Yeah, my brain feels like 90s TV on like a poor satellite connection.
Ooh, that's a great reference.
Sort of, you're just constantly skipping channels, but not a single one's got a clear picture on it. You're just, you know, everything's covered in tracking.
Well, let's scan through this one and hope for the best. So we're September 30th, 1996 for this week's episode of Nitro. Number one movie in the US, still the first Wives Club. Number one movie in the UK is Last Man Standing, starring Bruce Willis and Christopher Walken.
Never seen it.
Story of a drifting gunslinger for hire who finds himself in the middle of a war between the Irish and Italian mafia during a Prohibition-era ghost town.
Nice, okay.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, sounds like a good premise. I like that.
Almost the binary opposite to that. Number one song in the US is the Macarena.
Of course.
Still.
Hey, Macarena.
Still going. And number one song in the UK is Ready or Not by the Fugees still. Yeah, or the NWO theme when no one's listening.
We are live from Cleveland, Ohio this week, which they're like, oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who cares about that shit? It's like, there's loads of bollocks in Cleveland, Ohio. You're the home of Nine Inch Nails, lads.
Yeah.
Mention that. And maybe I'll care.
Maybe I'll care about
this week's episode.
Fugees are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know they are. There's a lot of bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a lot of groups, and there's a lot of bands that aren't. And I personally think it's a load of bollocks. It's a popularity contest.
Isn't all Hall of Fame?
It is, but it's more like a political popularity contest. It's very pro wrestling.
Yeah,
there's some bands I can't remember. Is it like Foreigner? Were told like essentially you'll never be in the Hall of Fame because they fell out with the guy that runs it.
Mm.
Like there's a lot of glare and omissions. I couldn't name any offhand, but if you kind of just look at it, it's a bit like eh.
What do I look like? Chop liver?
Surely. Well, it's just. I don't know. It should just be full of metal and rock and all the bands you expect to be in it.
That would be the way. Yeah. This week,
at least it's a physical space you can go to, though. WWE.
I like the idea of WWE. You should have a physical Hall of Fame.
Just turn old Titan Towers into the fucking Hall of Fame.
That'd be great.
Just. Whack the old logos up. It'd be great, yeah.
That'd be great fun. Yeah. We'd go to that in a heartbeat.
Leave the window from the Attitude Era advert, just smash that out again and have it as like an experience where there's a big mat to catch you, don't worry.
where you can just get
yeeted out of the building, right, by a chosen wrestler.
As Vince says, get it on the ground.
There'll be a different way. Yeah, there's just it's not even Vince. It's like a plastic molded version of Vince that just says it every 5 seconds.
Get it? Get it? Get it? It's on the attitude.
Yeah, he's got like a little moving, creaking like fuck.
Get it?
I did say Crash Matt. I don't think we should have one of those big, you know, movie-style balloon things you land on. They're just very expensive.
But okay.
I think a couple of mats or a couple of mattresses just stacked on top of
some
itself.
Some PE mats.
Yeah.
Some blue PE mats.
Yeah, they let us climb up all that fucking apparatus with like a solid whole inch of mat if you fell the 20 feet to your death.
You know, that would have
caught you and you would have been fine.
That's a good throwback. Here's another good throwback for you. This week, the Nintendo 64 is released in North America.
Nice. Never had one.
Never had an N64? I don't have
any affinity for the N64 because I never owned one.
Oh.
It's a weird thing. There's a lot of stuff I love that came out on the N64 that I played much later when it got re-released. Or it got like thrown onto the DS or whatever. But never had an N64.
Launch titles included Pilot Wings 64 and Super Mario 64.
Which is a delicious game. I believe it was also the launch title for the Nintendo DS was Mario 64.
And rightly so. Yeah. Honestly, still stands the test of time as one of the great platformers.
Oh, God, yeah.
So good. I remember looking at the box and me and my cousin looking on the back going,
it's so real!
How are they the graphics? They must just be like pictures they've made. No, yeah. They're the graphics! Whoa!
It's got a third dimension!
I can't even count to three! it was originally going to be $250 on launch, but they dropped it to $199.99 to make it a bit more competitive with Sony and Sega.
How generous of them.
How kind of you, dropping $50.
That's why we never had one. We were a PlayStation family by that point, and it was very much... We didn't have the money for multiple consoles in that regard. So it was very much, okay, we've got a PlayStation, and I think the general consensus was among me and all my friends and everybody we knew that PlayStation shat on everything.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of like, well, you got PlayStation, what more do you need?
That's very true. In the boring world of wrestling, we send our best wishes to Super Callow, who was out of action in 1996 for about another month, they
Did
reckon.
His hat come off? They've got to stitch it back on.
Well, his hat nearly came off. I think he landed on his heed
during
a dark match last week.
Oh, Jesus.
You pointed it out in a dark match and he landed badly. And
Christ.
I think he's out for about 4 weeks now. Just he was gaining some momentum. Backstage, J.J. Dillon returns to working for World Championship Wrestling this week. He's been in the WWF. He's back in the fold.
Yeah, he goes and he's like, what is it? He's like head of talent relations or something?
Basically.
WWF?
Yeah. Well, the role is, so he is going to be working. Well, I'll tell you what the Observer said. Eric Bischoff led a pep talk before Nitro with the wrestlers, saying that he wanted not only to beat McMahon again, but he wanted to do so by bringing back an old name. And he introduced to the room J.J. Dillon.
Oh my God, he used to manage the Four Horsemen. He's going to save the day.
He's coming in to be an assistant for Kevin Sullivan on the booking team, as well as working in talent relations. Here's the thing. Eric Bischoff hadn't told Kevin Sullivan this was happening until the meeting was underway. To
what?
Which he had to go, Kevin, who was in the meeting, went, is he? Like, yeah, and Eric in the meeting went, I apologise, Kev, I've been a bit busy. J.J. Dillon, you two are now working together.
Well, I think as we're gonna see, the booking is... the booking's going to take an interesting turn.
It's going to take a turn.
A turn vertically in a certain direction. But you know.
And some would argue it starts with this episode of Nitro, which the Observer, the Wrestling Observer leads. So it does like roundups of each of the shows. The Wrestling Observer this week leads the roundup of this Nitro by saying, Monday Nitro on the 30th of September in Cleveland drew 4,218 people paying $52,000 for one of the worst Nitros in history.
Brackets, so, they could have watched a dog do a shit on the side of the road for free.
And it would have been a bit more entertaining. Yeah. So it is a bad Nitro. We are missing quite a lot of top-tier talent.
I'd be fucked off if I was in attendance. I'd be really fucked off if I was in attendance.
Because last week you had it, so there were some big names missing, but you had the NWO there.
But at least you could explain it with the fact, hey, we're co-promoting in Japan. Give us a rest, right? This is helping the company grow. Yes, we're sorry the names aren't here, but you know. But now, no, the names are back. Just fuck you.
Yeah.
Paying audience, fuck you.
And there's no NWO either, because they are off-site for this entire episode.
No, they're sitting in a hotel room with Hulk Hogan's infant child.
Oh.
And just kind of talking over each other whenever you cut back to them. It's a very, very difficult thing to follow.
Brace yourself, for here we go. We are in Cleveland, Ohio this week, which Larry Zbyszko immediately calls The Mistake on the Lake, which is a great way to start a show.
We're in this shithole.
And Tony goes, no, it's not. Welcome to Night Show. You can't start with that, you dickhead. Tony and Larry recap the lowest point in the history of this program, i.e. last week's NWO invasion.
Widow Baby Eric. Widow Baby Eric getting swapped.
He has an official rebuttal later, does Eric Bischoff. His official rebuttal is now. We cut to the top commentary table where Eric Bischoff is sat on his own. And don't worry, I'm going to throw to you.
Yeah.
Because Eric Bischoff talks about the history of WCW that goes all the way back to 1905. Sam Driver?
Now, WCW is tied to 1905 in terms of lineage. But to say that it's currently tied to that lineage is kind of bollocks. If you want to really get into the semantics of it, so I'm going to do a big, well, actually, if you want to get specific... The World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship, the original World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship, goes back to 1905. Then it gets retired, and the lineage is carried over into the NWA World title. And the NWA is WCW free until 1982, when Georgia first uses the name for their Saturday TV show, which in turn is a name lifted by Jim Barnett, who's one of the people running Georgia, from the original WCW, which was a promotion he ran in Australia. So he would run that with Johnny Doyle. Jim Barnett did a lot in Australia. It's an interesting period that I really want to learn more about, is Jim Barnett kind of going over and kickstarting Australian wrestling. But then... Obviously, Georgia becomes a very popular territory under the booking of Ole Anderson. But Vince McMahon buys out the territory with the help of Barnett and the Briscoes from under Ole Anderson, but most importantly, Ted Turner, whose network Georgia ran WCW on. That's Black Saturday. Vince owns the time slot and so continues the show under the World Championship Wrestling title. But then Vince's offering to the GCW fan base, the original GCW Georgia Championship Wrestling, is derided, shat on by viewers as fake, and undermined by Turner co-opting other wrestling-oriented shows. To quite literally cut Vince's legs off from underneath him, mainly because Vince promised Turner fresh and original studio wrestling content, but then simply put on microwaved pre-tapes from all over the country.
Warmed
instead.
Up cold cuts.
Then Jim Crockett buys the territory from Vince for $1 million in a deal where Vince told Crockett to his face, you will choke on that million. Then JCP, as an NWA affiliate, continues to run World Championship Wrestling as a wrestling-orientated show once again under the NWA banner. But the lines begin to blur as WCW and NWA are kind of one and the same, but WCW is eclipsing NWA in terms of popularity. So like public prominence sees WCW, and then you kind of your aptomags have to go back to kind of referring to World Championship Wrestling as NWA. Then Vince buys everybody else out, and Crockett's sort of the last big stronghold, but he's struggling. So Ted Turner himself gets in the ring and buys out the promotion in 1988. And then by 1993, WCW and NWA have to sever ties because they're not able to agree on who gets to control the NWA title lineage, making the title vacant, with Ric Flair as its final champion to that point, and WCW becomes a distinct entity with some historical but zero current ties to the NWA or the title lineage dating back to 1905. You dirty liar. The big goal isn't the NWA title anymore, Eric. But for those who are curious, the NWA title and lineage by 1994 is mainly working with ECW when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, which is the most prominent televised product still affiliated with the dying governing body. Shane Douglas yeets the belt down in front of Dennis Coraluzzo in the most delicious moment ever. NWA then gets smaller, more obscure and weirder. It ends up at Smoky Mountain, the title where it gets on a Dan 7 by 1995 before Smoky Mountain goes bust. And then that's where the lineage is sitting coming to this air date right now, as 7 holds the title for 1,479 days until March of 99. And in the next year or so, 7's going to pop up in WWF, because WWF and NWA reach a weird agreement where NWA is going to be featured but also gets fucking decimated at every turn. And also Seven has like his own custom NWA belt, not the 10 pounds of gold.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'm sure
I think he initially has
with...
the 10 pounds of gold, but when he comes back for 98, he has his own custom Dan Seven NWA.
Because I've seen
title.
Him with the NWA title and the UFC Super Fight Championship.
Yeah, so I think when he initially comes in, he has that. Right. Unless it's his own version of the same design.
Right,
but he has his
maybe,
own belt. He loses it in like 99 in Tokyo. And then I think there's a couple of matches. And then by 2002, it ends up with TNA.
So what
and that's when it's stitched back into an official company lineage.
So here's the thing then, right? If WCW can argue the toss that their lineage goes back to 1905,
yeah.
Impact can also argue the toss. That
so
their
can
lineage
I.
Goes
I talk about all these companies and I talk about
pre-1905
wrestling, so I outdate the NWA. Give me the fucking belt.
There you go. There's your new NWA World Champion, Sam
I'll
Driver.
Do more for it than fucking Tyrus would, and you know it.
EC3.
I'll get my tits out.
Tyrus got his tits out for the belt, to be fair.
He did, but mine are more impressive.
But can you run the ropes like Tyrus did?
Probably faster.
Oh, that's not a challenge. Thank you, Sam. Fantastic deep dive into the NWA. Bet you weren't expecting that.
Yeah, actual wrestling knowledge. back to Ham with wigs.
That's it. We need to talk about Mean Gene masturbating again.
He's off again.
I know.
Some injuries he's got going on.
Is he on some sort of like Tibetan sojourner to train for the Summer Olympics?
It could be learning some secret tantric arts.
Just him and Sting in Tibet.
He's got like a little weight that he hangs on the end of it. And he's just doing some curls.
He's done what Darby Allin's done. He's gone to China to learn ahead of wanking up Mount Tibet. Wanking up Mount Everest.
How do you wank up Everest? Do you stand backwards like the tank in Grand Theft Auto 3 and it projects you further than walking?
I think you just let the momentum carry.
The air is thinner, so maybe it would give you a bit of a kickback.
Yeah, I think you'd have to kind of, yeah. As long as you...
I mean, you've got to assume that Gene by this point has some level of recoil akin to a shotgun.
You'd hope so by this point, because I would worry
about... The musculature has to be developed, right?
But the skin has to be completely gnarled.
Well, you know, that's why he has several sponsorships in the lubrication department.
Right, yeah, I guess.
Moisturizers.
I hope he keeps it moisturized.
Of course, he's got to. Otherwise, I mean, it'd be like starting a fire with two sticks. It'd just be like...
This is why I love this, because we've gone from a deep, rich history of the NWA
to Mean Gene,
having a knob like two sticks... It looks
like the sad last bit of the kebab when you walk into the kebab. I'm sure at like 4 a.m., you know, where it's like shaved right down. And it's just on the middle of the spit and absolutely fucked.
The last chicken in the shop look.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff says the NWO is nothing but dirtbags from bottom to top. He admits he's made mistakes, but the biggest mistake he made was bringing Hulk Hogan to WCW.
I should never have brought in that cash cow. Look at all these t-shirts that people are wearing. I should never have done it.
I wish I hadn't, but Eric Bischoff assures us that it's going to stop. We will see. The next match, our opening match of the night, if you ever wanted to know what a star-studded night you've got, it's the Public Enemy, the World Tag Team Champions, facing Juventud Guerrera and El Tecnico. Sam Driver, do you know who El Tecnico
is? I do know who El Tecnico is. It's one of those weird little bits of knowledge. Mm. Is it Psicosis is supposed to be in the match?
Psicosis is supposed to be in
the match. But Psicosis can't get past the border for strange reasons.
Been detained.
Yeah. So they had to panic and last minute threw together an outfit and whapped it on one Billy Kidman.
It is Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
Why could you not have just done Billy Kidman and Juventud Guerrera?
Well, Kidman's not really, he's not really been mega featured so far.
Neither's El Tecnico.
No, but I think they've got plans for Kidman, right?
Right.
So I think it's one of those things where maybe it's like, fuck it, Kidman, we can't really just throw you in there yet.
Yeah.
We don't maybe want to do this or that. Just to be honest, they could have thrown Kidman out there and it would have been a hell of a better match.
And Tecnico is basically there to take a shoe in, to be honest.
What does Tecnico mean? It means he's a technical wrestler. And then Mike Tenay's like, it also means that he's like a fan favorite.
Cheers, Mike. Glad we got Mike in for that. Explaining
the actual.
Yeah. Mike Tenay, they draft him in when anyone on the wrestling commentary team needs to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
Thank God Mike Tenay is there.
Yeah. He's the one with the actual hidden knowledge.
Just the other two just making shitty jokes. Tecnico is there indeed to take a drum in. They get basically jobbed out to heavyweight boys here. Rocco and Grunge win with an assisted senton onto Tecnico.
They laid out the table. There's Chekhov's table on the outside. You can't do this. That's just sad. That's fucking over the audience. How dare you set up a table and not use it during the match for your terrible finish?
Don't worry. The audience are placated because they do put the cherry on top with a double team on El Tecnico through said Chekhov's table.
Fuck you, Kidman.
Leave the memories alone.
And then get your very own Big Boys t-shirt for only $19.99.
This is our
They've got
boys.
Jim Duggaroni pizza shilling t-shirts.
And no normal t-shirt. They are literally branded
big
as
boys.
The Big Boys. Get the Big Boys t-shirt.
Get the Big Boys.
One size fits most, says Jim Duggan, with somebody else, I think a random stagehand, with his head through the head hole, along with Jim Duggan. Or, unless this is some sort of story arc where Jim Duggan's a two-headed monster.
This shit must have been some of the most fun stuff to shoot.
Jim Duggan looks like he's having a ball.
Yeah.
Selling these great
like,
WCW
Jim, sell
t-shirts.
Me this t-shirt. How? Just sell me the shirt.
Mike Tenay has legged it backstage to chat with Chris Benoit and Mongo McMichael. Mongo, you're not wrestling tonight.
Yeah, you're not on the bill.
Why are you here? He says he's here to protect WCW from the NWO. And now the horsemen will always band together. There's only two of you in this particular
but
bit.
The problem is I don't know if Mongo has the skills. So thankfully, Deborah does manage to tell us that her husband used to be in the NFL. And she holds up his Super Bowl ring on his hand. And she basically keeps saying that he was in the NFL. And that's Deborah's line for the night.
You know what that ring of the NFL means? It means he's a team player.
It means my husband played in the NFL.
Bless her. That's what they're doing.
I'm sorry, but I just can't. Deborah does my head in. She does my head in.
Do you know what? You've got like...
She does my head in throughout her entire run. Like her entire wrestling run. She just does my head in.
This is the lack of bass in the voice.
It just feels like she's always just like an afterthought. So I think part of it is like the booking. I mean, at this stage, it makes sense, right? She's just there to accompany Mongo. But as she gets more entrenched in the wrestling industry, she just constantly feels like an afterthought. Like, this just like, shit, we need someone for Deborah. Just throw her in there. Okay.
It's a real triple threat of women in the Four Horsemen. You've got woman who is persona and charisma out the wazoo. She's incredible. She's perfect. She is just the right bit of sultry and just the right bit of fucking downright vicious. And delicious.
You've got Miss Lizzie, who is just there to kind of, you know, she's there spending Macho Man's money, and she's with Ric Flair now, and fuck you, Macho.
But in terms of persona, you've got Liz, who is essentially a shrug in human form.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Like the meek, like, it's like you hired a librarian to do a TED talk.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just that kind of, oh, don't
she's
know.
Only recently started doing that again, though. I think, like, there was a whole point where, you know, initially when she sided with Flair and the Horsemen, she was a much bigger character.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Really?
I think throughout the whole run, she's just been confused Liz.
Yeah, but at least
I don't think it's her forte.
At least there was like storyline backing for her being there and being prominent.
Oh yeah, I'm with the storyline element of it. Yeah. But I've never really bought her as a. I feel like this all is out of her depth.
And then you got Deborah, who's just going, "My husband was in the NFL."
In terms of tier list them from top to from best to worst.
I mean, Deborah's best. Woman, the other two get in the bottom. Yeah. Woman and Liz, bottom.
Woman, Liz.
They didn't
woman
marry
Deborah
somebody.
Liz.
They didn't marry somebody who played in the NFL.
NFL.
Why should we listen or care?
NFL.
This is wrestling, Tom. This is wrestling. Career on the indies. Massively successful run at the point where you're the biggest female star in a company even though you didn't compete in ring. Fuck that. NFL.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. Not anymore.
Oh,
that's an annoying soundbite.
I wonder how many times we're going to hear that this evening.
I'm sure that'll be the last time we hear it. Fucking hell. So we go to the first of many cuts tonight to the NWO's room in the Marriott.
Where they're all just talking over each other.
It's
the entire fucking time. They're just all talking over each other all at once. And I get it's part of the presentation. They don't play by rules. They're just being themselves and they're just having a good time. But fuck me, if you're going to make me sit and watch it, give me something to watch.
It's true.
They're just sat on a couch.
And they're not. So we've got Hulk Hogan, Ted DiBiase, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Fake Sting, Giant, and Nick Hogan, Hogan's son. Hogan was talking about how much his son Nick likes fast cars.
Just leave that one there.
It's not even me being a dick. That was what was happening in this segment. Ted DiBiase says WCW...
It's good to know that the hairline is completely gone on Terry.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good to see it's hereditary as well.
I mean, of course it is, but it's good to know that it's definitely just stitched into the old bandana.
Oh,
now.
God, you can see. Yeah. You can tell.
Well, I mean, considering you could probably, you know, you could measure stuff accurately if you laid that out flat. It is perfectly flat, that cut.
It's, yeah. I don't know many people that get their hair done at the haberdashery.
It's like they got a guillotine and just went...
You can only buy so much material, so he's going to guillotine it just there.
Maybe Nick should just do that. Just glue something to the side of his head, you know? Get a baby face run out.
It won't be a baby face dry for a few years at least. Now, I did watch this a few times to try and make head or tail, because what Sam said is right. They just talk all over each other every time they cut here.
And
so
they're
I had
all,
to watch
they're
it a
all
few kind times.
Of doing the same thing as well. They're all gloating about their actions.
About how fucking brilliant
but
they are.
They're all talking about different aspects of it all at once.
Yeah. So Ted DiBiase says WCW are now paying for the commercial announcements, which is why we have that obnoxious Hulk Hogan bit in it as well.
Except for one where it cuts away and you just get the following is paid for with the not anymore.
Yeah, there's one they forget they leave out.
Yeah.
Scott and Kevin
Terrible
welcome the
Fire them. Fire them all.
I wish they did. Scott and Kevin welcome the WCW roster back from Japan. As Fake Sting mocks fake Sting.
Wait, X-Pac wants room service, guys.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Does anybody want room service? We should get some room service. Keep talking. Room service.
Hey,
would you like some room service, anybody?
My son, Nick, he's a great
Fast
kid.
Cars, yeah, but room Love service. Them. Do you know what else is fast, Nick?
Hey,
cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers are amazing. You know where you can get
Deborah?
Cheeseburgers?
Yeah, Deborah
you can get cheeseburgers
me.
On room service.
I want some food! All right, Paul, I love a bit of dinner.
So you're up for some room service, Paul? Yeah, room service.
Yes, please.
It's cool because I'm sitting on like the back arm
Brothers,
of the chair,
the NWO,
which means I'm cooler than the normal sit down on the chair.
Cheese. I am greater than all the other characters combined.
What are we thinking? Relish? Pickles? Double cheese, yeah? Room service.
I will.
Think they'll bring it in those little metal dish plate things. Room service.
I was hoping that it might be at the end. They order room service, and maybe Babyface turns up with the room service and beats them all up. We don't even get
been,
that.
It should have been Sting inside like a dish big enough to fit like a whole stuffed pig, right? And Sting's in there with an apple in his mouth, and they're like, "Hold on a second, this isn't a stuffed pig." And then up he jumps, and then he just spits the apple in Hogan's face and lays them out.
See,
that would have been classic TV.
Didn't get that. I will give them a nod for the little dig they made at WWF here, where they called Fake Sting, quote, the best imposter in professional wrestling, because Fake Diesel and Fake Razor Ramon had debuted in the weeks prior.
I think that's cruel to Rick Bogner. That's...
And Glenn Jacobs.
Nah, Glenn's made his own bed with his political career. I think it's cruel to Rick Bogner.
Oh. Anyway, they talk all over each other. Nothing happens. Paid for by the New World Order.
Not anymore.
Back to the ring. Some wrestling. That's a relief. Dean Malenko is facing Alex White, fun boy. Malenko has Rey Mysterio's mask
in his
hand.
And he's sort of Buffalo Billing it the entire match. He's just sort of looking at it and touching it and going...
So, this is a beat that
whenever
we missed.
Whenever he, like, sees it.
It's a beat that we missed this because it was on Saturday night.
So. Oh, it didn't happen then. As we know, there's two sets of all the wrestlers. Some of them only know what happens on Saturday night. Some of them only know what happens on Nitro. Mm. So that means this Malenko's gone rogue and he's done away with the Nitro Malenko. And now we've got Saturday Night Malenko appearing on Nitro. This is getting like 70s sci-fi film level.
There's more than one Malenko. I'm seeing double. Four Dean Malenkos. On Saturday night, Mysterio had his mask ripped off by Dean Malenko because Dean wants a title shot.
And they want that mask off him as fast as they can.
Yes, heaven forfend you make some fucking money from selling masks.
No, we need little stick-on devil horns that come off every match.
People want that. We're getting Malenko versus Mysterio at Slim Jim Halloween Havoc. Now, whatever you do, you must always call it Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
Yes.
There's one point in the commentary tonight where they go Halloween Havoc and Tony very quickly goes, sponsored by Slim Jim. That it's obviously hardwired and drilled into them.
Yeah.
It's called Slim Jim Halloween.
Do you
Havoc.
Think that they got like tied to a chair backstage and the Slim Jim man, the one that we're not going to see for a while with the big hair, he comes in, the hair that's made entirely of Slim Jims, and he's just beating the shit out of them with a Slim Jim.
I think exactly
and he's
what's
like,
happening.
What's the name of it? Wabba! What's the name of it?
Slim James!
Bah! Until they're saying Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And we've got no evidence of that. We just Whoosh. Know. Technical start to the match that sees Malenko take to the floor, throwing Funboy into the barricade. He gets a bit aggressive here. He puts the Mysterio mask on the turnbuckle post, as Sam said, and just kind of lets the post watch
well,
over.
The camera cuts away, but
match.
All you hear is just like... And like... Just over and over again for like a 35-minute period. And I was thinking Gene had got out, but no, he's not here. He's away on a retreat.
So who's making that noise?
You know who's making it, because the camera's on right on the outside. But we know that ring's mic'd for sound. That's right, it's the referee.
Oh, no. You've been told. You were told in that meeting where we also drilled into you about Slim Jim.
You leave that to Gene. He's the world's best.
Why? Don't mess
He's
with
the
him.
Whole reason I got into this business.
They're talking about Sting on commentary when they're not wanking, walking out on WCW. Larry Zbyszko describes it as a shameful thing. Lobster head. Which that was a lovely little throwback. Larry, and then I put, Larry should also sue Sheamus for his theme music, the way he sued Chris Jericho in 2001. Alex Wright dodges a cross body from Dino and cradles him to get the three.
Yeah, shock victory for Das Wunderkind.
Yeah.
Sorry, shock victory for Das Wunderkind.
Tony Schiavone says, Alex Wright shocked the world. And Larry Zbyszko goes, shocked me and I'm smarter than the world. What's Larry on tonight? It's just in full dickhead mode.
I'm enjoying it.
I don't know.
Maybe
he
took one
it.
Look at the sheet and went, are you fucking kidding me? All right, I'm going to have fun
shit,
with
I'm
this.
I'm going to have a laugh. somehow, as people, we just, more fun is derived when something's crap. I think it's, I don't know, it's just like, it's not a Schadenfreude thing, because that's misery from other people's pain.
Yeah.
Almost like a self-Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
You go, ah, this is crap.
That, and we love just taking a perfectly good gimmick, and we love just destroying a career.
We are, just you and I.
Yeah.
We're one for that.
Yeah.
We really are.
It's like, I found out WWF tried it with Jim Duggan in like 1990. Fucking Oktoberfest themed main event.
You did. You sent me that.
Trying to dress up our Italian superhero as a fucking lederhosen wearing, sausage munching, beer drinking German.
How dare they try and. Why mess with something that's already good?
Trying to call him Jim Sauerkraut and Steinzer beer, Duggaroni pizza. Like, how. It doesn't make any sense.
I get Duggaroni pizza.
It's a surname. Are they going to call him Duggan and just stick an umlaut over the A? No.
Duggaroni pizza. Is it like double-barreled in your head? Duggaroni dash pizza.
So yeah, like
his mum was Sarah Duggaroni and his dad was Mick Pizza.
I feel like his family would have insisted on there being a space, even though it was like, no, we can't legally do it. There's a space. Okay. It's either that or we're going to name him Ferrari. Ferrari F50 or whatever.
Ferrari F50.
Or we'll just call him like 17.
We're going to call him Maserati 2 Turbo.
Yeah. Lancia Delta Intercorale, Duggaroni Pizza. Still with a space. You either let us have Jim and give him a fair chance at being a professional wrestler / pizza slinger, or we're going to name him after a successful rally car from the 80s.
It sounds daft, but it's amazingly a name that you can make in 2K23.
Yeah.
I couldn't make Shirley Onions, but I could make... I can make that one.
It needs to get whatever Starfield's got, because Starfield, I'm like Captain Wank Flaps at the minute, I think.
I love how Starfield went, okay, you can do whatever you want in the world.
There's like five words that you can't.
Dick shit wank.
Yeah, so it's like, hello, Captain Wank Flaps. Whenever I get back on the ship, it's great.
You can change on iPhone, you can change your nickname that your phone has for you. So a while ago, I changed it to Dickhead.
Right.
But then they updated the health app, so it keeps track of my steps.
Yeah.
So whenever I do well on the old steps, it feels like my phone's sort of taking the piss, because it just goes, well done, dickhead.
Nice.
Great work, dickhead. I don't know what I did. Try it. It's a fun game for all involved. We get the recap from WCW Saturday Night once again. Miss Elizabeth watching Randy Savage's match from the entrance. What's going on there? Randy has lost the plot. He starts battering several referees on Saturday night, including Nick Patrick, who got a big pop when he got twatted.
Yeah.
Tanay welcomes Randy Savage to the arena for an interview. The crowd are like, yes, some star power on this void of a Nitro.
Bum, 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 bum.
And we wait.
Crowd starts getting tired.
And we wait.
And he doesn't emerge.
And then Mike Tanay goes, well, I don't know where he is. we'll be back on Nitro soon.
I don't know where Randy Savage is. He's not here. Something must have gone wrong. We'll be back soon. Cut to
the trailer for Halloween Havoc.
Nope.
Is that all we get?
Is it?
I get Halloween Havoc trailer.
I thought we... Oh, no, it is. But it's the first thing you see is Savage and telling you to snap into a Slim Jim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, nobody knows where he is. He's not here. Oh, yeah. And cut straight fucking to him.
Got a meat girl space. What a big fuck you to the crowd.
Yeah. And then when we come back from commentary, we have to have it explained to us that, yes, he was in the advert selling Slim Jims, but no, he's not here.
As if people went, I just saw him there. He was in the advert. How fucking thick are people in the 90s?
Very.
I think you'll find that...
They had pages, mate. You could have just had an iPhone, right? Why didn't we have an iPhone?
I'm not going to buy Lurpak.
We had like fucking...
Man
like,
comes alive out of butter playing the trombone.
We had dial-up when we could have just had fiber optic. We're just fucking stupid. All we had to do was go to Curry's and buy it. It's probably there.
If Savage had sold us it. I want to talk about this... I want to talk about this Halloween Havoc.
We only, as a planet, we only eat Slim Jims and anything Randy Savage endorses.
We have
That's
to.
It.
He's the king of the planet. He is the wrestler, like he was in Dexter's Lab that time. He's the king. Now, we get a trail for Halloween Havoc. Randy Savage dicking about with Halloween costumes and a Frankenstein costume and a werewolf costume where he's like, look at me, I've got this on my head. It's not him, really, it's me. It's just like he's twatting about in a fancy dress shop and I love it.
And then, for the first time in the Slim Jim verse, Ric Flair enters.
This absolutely caught me off guard.
It sickened me.
Because I was expecting just like a standard advert. They go, you could win this car. Yeah. Hey, what
it's
a
like
hey.
Free trip and win a truck and a lifetime supply of Slim Jims.
And it shows a woman driving the Slim Jim Halloween Havoc car.
Randy
and
makes like, an indecent
isn't
comment.
Isn't she gorgeous? To which then we see Flair appear in the advert going, do you mean the car flanked or the driver? I'm like, what? I thought this was just like Savage's solo multiverse. Yeah.
And then Savage just goes off on Flair, and then Flair leaves because he feels threatened.
Yeah, they cut a really long promo in which, but before Flair leaves, he says, I'm going to enter the sweepstakes to win the cup.
Well, that's it. He sort of explains how you win, because Flair's like, I'm here to win. And it's like, you can only win by going to your shop and buying and eating as many Slim Jims as possible and getting lucky. It's like the golden ticket for Charlie and his fucking shitter of a granddad. Oh, sorry, I can't work and help the family. Oh, fuck, magical fucking chocolate factory trip. Watch me dance.
Yeah. I'm surprised that...
Grandpa Joe's a piece of shit.
I'd have jobbed him into Department for Work and Pensions.
Somebody should have.
I'd have jobbed him up to the
I'd do a whole investigation because there's four of them in that bed. And if he can get up and dance...
Yeah.
So
there's some benefit for all that.
And you know he's sending Charlie to collect his money. There's no way he's getting up to get it.
Of course he is.
Fucking bollocks.
Benefit for
but
all
But no, there. Free chocolate.
And also, right... If this advert exists in the real WCW world, Ric Flair turns up going, oh, Savage, fun place you've got here. Savage would have leapt across the car and kicked fuck out of Flair for stealing all his money.
So I know that I fucked your wife and took all of your money twice, but essentially, yeah, I want to win this car, mate.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. Savage would have gone... Mate, you stole all my money. Why are you... Oh, I'm skint now, mate. You spent all my money. Yeah, I want to win this car. You fucking dickhead. You spent all my money.
What do you want to win the car for? So I can sell it for more money.
Yeah. So I can keep Liz in the manner in which she wishes to be kept. It was... I wish they'd leaned into it because it would have just been Savage leaping across the car and beating the fuck out of Flair. Flair's entering the Slim Jim sweepstakes and then, like you say, he just leaves, not wanting a fight tonight. I don't think he'd be eligible as an employee of World Championship Wrestling.
Well, he doesn't have a sponsorship with Slim Jim, so maybe he would be.
No, but if he's got a Turner contract, then legally he's not allowed to enter.
Yeah, but his son can.
David can, yeah?
Yeah.
So all those just, two women he was with could.
What if he just hands his... what if he just hands Macho Man's credit card to... like his kid, and then his kid can go buy all of the Slim Jims in all the shops for him.
True.
He does a Grandpa Joe, but instead of like, you know, go get my doll money, go get me the, you know, all the Slim Jims you can. And then he wins anyway. I think that's possible.
Go to that Slim Jim shop around the corner. Who can take the sunrise?
You're just watching them mince a load of like bits of animal.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one of a kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The fact that we had Savage teased and then he doesn't show up means that you've got to know the next match is going to be Star Power City, right? You've got to make up for something like that. And so WCW, they never fail to deliver. What do we got, Tom?
Up next is Eddie Guerrero versus Jim Powers.
Juiced up Jim.
Fuck.
As the NWO politely referred to him as last week.
Yeah. Eddie Guerrero is in action at Halloween. So Slim Jim's Halloween Havoc. Facing Diamond Dallas Page. They've had a little feud bubbling over. But Jim Powers is just one of these guys very much on the periphery. Fuck you, you're not getting Savage, you're getting Jim Powers.
My takeaway from this is that there's a guy that looks like a young Guy Fieri with a mustache, like middle of the crowd.
Oh, I saw him.
Yeah. Do you know that Guy Fieri's real name's Guy Ferry, but he changed it to Fieri to get closer to his Italian roots and sound fancier? I think more people need to know that Guy Fieri's name's Guy Ferry.
And plus, Guy Ferry limits him to nautical-based food only.
I would like to see Guy Ferry have to take the ferries of Britain and rate the canteens of said ferries. None of them that go to Europe, because you get like fancy Haribo on those bad boys. I'm talking about like ones that go between Scottish islands, the Shields Ferry, things like that.
But you can't do diners, drive-ins and dives.
He shouldn't be allowed to do that anyway. Ferry. He doesn't have an exotic surname. Well, he probably does legally, but you know what I mean. I'd have never given a show to a Guy Ferry. I know that much.
I'd have given a country music album to a Guy Ferry.
Imagine he went in there with like just normal hair. He'd like a sweater vest on. He's like, I've got an idea. It's called Diners, Drive-ins and Dives. My name's Guy Ferry and I'm a chef and I'm, and they're like, no, fuck off. And then he comes in with like a bowling shirt covered in flames, hair stuck up. Like he goes home and in a moment of like sadness, he just like throws the TV remote against the wall and he sees a Smash Mouth music video and he's like, that's it. That's the shit. And then the Smash Mouth singer's probably got like an exotic name or something. And he's like, Guy Fieri. And I'm taking that entire look. And then he storms back in there in three-quarter cutoffs, calling everybody dude and bro, and his hair's all spiked up. And they're like, wow, radical! And they can't even remember the first pitch because Guy Ferry just didn't do it for them.
There was a famous meeting about an hour before where Gary Rhodes said, I'm sorry, only one spiky-haired chef is allowed at one time.
I ate at a diner's...
there can be only one!
I've eaten at a diner's, drive-ins and dives approved venue as well.
Have you? Which one?
I can't remember the name of it. It's a sports bar in LA in Koreatown, but they had a massive fucking poster up all signed by Guy. And I was like, shit, they've been on Diners, Drive-ins and Dives, so I need to find the episode because it was pretty good food.
To be fair, like if Guy Fieri came into my restaurant, I'd have a big picture.
Oh, yeah, but I'd just keep calling him Guy Ferry and patting him on the back. It's my friend Guy Ferry.
Guy Ferry,
everybody.
It's Fieri. Shut up, Ferry, you're fine.
And then while he's inside, have someone fill his convertible with cement. Like Vince style.
So you're really nice.
Well, not
to
even
him.
Cement, like baked beans.
So you're really nice and then you just fucking shit up his car.
Well, we did tell you we got a special guy and we want you to experience the special. Here it is.
It's the baked bean surprise.
It's beans and sausages out of a can. But it's a car full of it. And everything, the boot, the engine block, the oil well, the petrol tank, the car itself, like the interior, anything, the glove compartment, it's all just full of beans and sausages.
It's the baked bean surprise, guy. Hey, that's nothing. You wait till you try the custard surprise. They just fucking break his legs. There's the custard surprise. There's no custard.
They knock him down and then they take him to like put a bag over him. Take him to like a massive industrial unit and throw him into a pool.
Custard surprise!
Slam! And there's other TV chefs in there, just in the dark, just echoing. Jamie Oliver, is that you? This is so unhealthy.
Psy King, are you as well, eh?
I wouldn't put Cy in that situation. He's a lovely human being.
He got you with a custard surprise, did he? We keep getting caught out by it. Here's a lovely custard surprise. Nick Patrick wearing a hilarious neck brace. He got beaten up by Savage on Saturday night, but God bless him, he's come to
work. Everybody to know about it.
But he talked to the camera going, I've come to work even though I'm hurt.
I had to keep it to 60 in my new convertible.
In my convertible. But somebody filled with baked beans. I went to that stupid restaurant again.
It must have been amazing to be rich in like the late 80s, early 90s, because you could probably, if you were like a billionaire, you could probably just, you can do that today anyway, but you could just like, hey, I just want a new car every day and just throw it away. Just throw your car away. Just find a river. Just drive it into a river. Jump out at the last minute. And just behind your house is a ditch just full of cars. But you got to like set them on fire so that nobody can steal them and sell them on.
Oh yeah,
so
you don't want to be.
Yeah,
to
I mean, you got to. Well, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going for a drive while they pump my house full of more asbestos.
It's lovely. Good for you.
It's good for you, apparently. That and smoking. It'd be fine.
Asbestos. We've got concrete that's not concrete. Schools are really safe at the minute.
Schools are well safe.
Yeah.
I don't see what the problem is. Everybody bullies each other and there's fake concrete. It'd be fine. Tony and Larry put Nick over for coming to work, even though everybody thinks he's an arse. As Powers works over Eddie, the NWO goobers appear. They've got NWO placards. They're chanting NWO.
And the real wrestler's here, everybody. The real wrestler's here. Can't remember his name.
The real wrestler?
Yeah, Mr. Kurt Angle. The amateur wrestling champion.
Oh, God! I can't remember. It was last week, that was.
No, he's here.
Is he here again?
Yeah, he sat with somebody on front row.
I didn't see that bit. Well,
maybe you should pay closer attention.
I should have. I was too busy.
Too busy fixating on a car full of beans.
I was too busy thinking about a car. I was still, you know what? I was still writing up the segment before, so I probably missed it. Is that you on a car? Anyway, as Powers works over Eddie and they arrive, Eddie pushes back, goes for a frog splash. Jim gets up there and superplexes him, which I thought was a nice move of the match. End comes a bit weirdly because Eddie hits a German suplex but seems to kick out at 2.9. Mm. Nick counts the three and Jim Powers loses. So
and
basically,
then there's an awkward stall and then everybody's kind of looking at each other. And then Patrick looks to the outside and is like, ring the fucking bell, play the fucking music. So, and NWO chants are breaking out.
It's so weird.
It's weird.
I feel like the thing is, right, if this was a flummox, it's covered for the fact that Nick Patrick is currently an arse. So it could just be. And also, it was the previous week, Nick Patrick got into it with Teddy and Ice Train.
Yeah.
And flummoxed a call with them. So whether we're
building
to
there was going to be a bit of a disaster, this was the place to do it.
We're building Nick, maybe, unless they're building Nick Patrick versus Teddy Long.
I'd pay to see that.
Well, it'd be the biggest star power you'll see all night.
Maybe we could have Doom manage Teddy Long. That'd be nice.
Ah, full circle moment.
Just a pair of them on the outside.
The following announcement is paid for by the New World Order.
Not anymore.
We're back in the hotel room, and it's the NWO watching themselves on Nitro, going, hey, we're on telly, lads, this is great. Talking all over each other once again. And the Nasty Boys turn up.
Yeah.
So Hogan gave them their room key last week, so he must be staying in the same room.
The Nasty Boys feel in this scene like two kids that are hanging around with like their brother's friends, like their older brother's mates who are cooler and they see them as being much cooler because they're like, wow, guys, oh my God, it's Kevin Nash. Oh yeah, we're cool. And trying to like really impress them. And it's just sort of, you're the fucking Nasty Boys, man. Like you're the Wrecking Crew from Allentown. Fucking put some respect on yourselves.
Put some respect on yourselves, boys.
Fucking.
Nash and Hall aren't convinced by this.
No.
Because they're like, but then they're like, hey, look, we don't, we know we're not on any side, but this is more than WCW's ever done for us.
Yeah.
Bringing us into a hotel room.
And do you know what else is here? Cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
Relish, extra cheese, those little shitty plates where you lift stuff up and Sting's not underneath. Yeah, room service is rocked up. X-Pac must be loving it.
And it's lovely because the food's here. Yeah. Nash is there. But Nash and Hall aren't convinced by them. But don't worry, Jerry Sags
is going to play. Sags is going to convince you.
He has a foolproof plan to prove that he is on their side.
So he stands up and he performs a pant-covered goatsy. And if you know what that is, I feel your pain. If you don't, maybe don't Google it. Don't Google goatsy, G-O-A-T-S-E. Don't Google it at all. I'm just going to give you a second not to Google it. Please not don't look at it and burn it into your eyes forever.
Oh, no.
And never be able to not see it whenever you think of it.
Oh, no.
You know, just going to stall for a second. But yeah, he performs a pants-covered goatsy while standing on a table. And he's like, look, guys, it's Eric Bischoff. And then he mimes his goatsy talking.
So basically, he is talking. He is miming,
spreading the old cheek,
pulling his bum cheeks apart to go, look at me, I'm Eric Bischoff. Oh, the NWO are coming to get me. Because that is, and they all laugh and go, he's all right, him.
I was so befuddled by this.
They're using them skills that helped save the Taiwan Strait. It's a callback to some early fucking Nitro review.
Look at me, I'm the president. That's how he did it. I believe that's what Inoki did when he saved those hostages. Look at me, I'm America.
It's me, George W. Bush.
This bit is so befuddling that I have made it the thumbnail art for the podcast this week. Because I just... And it's the fact they all go, yay, we love him, he's all right.
Hey.
If ever you're in a job interview next, if you've got a job interview next week,
just stand up on the table.
You know, if you've got a job interview,
turn
Costa,
around and just leave your pants on, but keep spreading them cheeks and tell them that that's the boss.
Yeah,
look at me, I'm the boss.
You're not the boss, are you? You're just the monkey that hires people. Yeah, you're the office guy that's just sort of the they kind of crack you in a corner and they go like, you know, well, you just handle all this shit. Yeah, you mustn't like the boss either. So here's me doing the boss. Actually, I am the boss. Right.
Look at me, I'm not the boss.
Look at me, I'm all the other staff.
Great recovery. You're hired. You start Monday. So after that segment, let's go back to backstage at Nitro, because Mike Tenay is with Arn Anderson, Woman, and Elizabeth. Arn Anderson says...
This scene's quite weird.
Yeah. Arn says that at War Games, Liz had a weak moment, but she has to stay with the Horsemen. Woman then chews Liz out, asking what she was doing out there fawning over Randy. Liz doesn't know what to say, not because she doesn't know like which way her real allegiance lie, but she's just crap and doesn't know what to say.
But the tone of it very much feels like Arn's going, Liz, we know you're a simple woman, but you need to stop being so driven by your feelings and desires to leave the house. What were you doing? We were away. You were supposed to stay at home, Liz. You weren't supposed to be here. How dare you leave the house, Liz? You're not allowed out of the house. What were you doing? That's how it feels. And it's like, I was like, whoa.
A bit like sort of domestic-y.
Yeah, a bit kind of like, just a bit sort of like, all right, she can go on a shopping spree if she wants. She can come down, check out Nitro. She's just contracted talent.
But Savage is their enemy.
I know it's coming and from a place of, we can't protect you if we're not here. But like, it did feel very much like, Liz, come on, darling. We know you're simple. Just stay home when we're not here.
I think because Liz can't really act... in any way.
Yeah.
It makes segments like this trickier to navigate.
She'd make a fantastic silent movie actress.
Yes.
In this scene, she's just sort of like... yeah. Kind of flailing her arms around and looking sad and conflicted. But like, yeah, it was weird.
She'd make a fantastic silent movie runner.
Yeah.
We'll check in with Liz again in a bit. Don't worry, the star power keeps on ratcheting up. It is Brad Armstrong versus Hugh Morris.
And if you thought we were going to have a clean transition into hour two, you got another thing coming. By the time the bell rings, we got 40-odd seconds on the clock. It's going to be one of those firework moments.
It really is. The match is underway as we do begin hour two. Eric welcomes us to, quote, the second hottest hour in wrestling today. So I presume that means hour one is better.
Probably, but I mean, you could argue that Raw is also pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, he is undermining the second hour of Nitro by going, the second hottest hour in wrestling. So there is at least one
better. You've only got me and Bobby Bloody Heenan this hour.
You haven't even got Eric for that bloody long. Eric, Bobby, Mike, all asking, where's Randy? In which Bischoff then calls the Nasty Boys, quote, a bunch of guppies. Who aren't in the NWO, and they're just sucked in by Hogan's magnificent charisma.
Which just always feels like, I didn't agree to this shit. They're not getting an extra payday. What's this? No. Yeah. Hold on. No, I was going to fire them in 2 weeks. This isn't going to work at all. What do you mean they're going to be a part of the stable? I need to get on the blow at a 10.
They're meant to be here tonight. We're fucked for talent. A fairly nothing
room
match.
Service. I didn't agree to that.
Cheeseburgers in the Marriott. They're like $14 a go.
No,
that's a whole plate of
them.
They'd
be like $5 a go in the 90s, and everybody'd be like, $5 for a cheeseburger?
That's a good shout, yeah.
Oh, my God. And now it's like, in America, I'm loving this at the minute, where it's like, a Big Mac meal costs $18. Like, you reap what you sow. Yeah. You deserve it.
Just think how much better you'll be when you're not eating them all the time.
Yeah, and put down the guns.
Happy Thanksgiving, America, for the other week. A fairly nothing match, but a rematch from last week that sees Morris beating Brad with two moonsaults.
You know what? I think Brad has a good showing in spite of the shortness of the match. I think Brad manages to keep his distance well. It's Brad Armstrong, right? You don't need to talk about how good he is. It's sort of the psychology very much feels like it's there. Morris is a big power guy, but he's got explosive speed. Armstrong's able to keep that distance, you know, just enough and get attacking when he has the opportunity. But Morris's explosivity just proves to be too much.
Mm-hmm. So whether or not we'll get a rubber match with these two, well, if
probably
it's just...
not. They're really mistreating Brad Armstrong right now. I know he can't talk. Just give him a manager. Give him Liz. She's not doing fuck all.
She can't talk either.
I don't care. It'll be funny. Both of them stood awkwardly with a mic going,
you don't speak, you'll spoil it. Don't speak, you'll spoil it. Arn, Woman, and Liz are arguing by the curtain. Arn says she needs to be all in or all out. So Wembley or Chicago before the end of the night. No, we don't. We'll get no resolution on that for now. Back from the break, Eric Bischoff apologises because between Randy Savage going AWOL, the NWO dicking about at the Marriott and all that Liz stuff, he's got to go sort it all out. So he says, Tony, if you're still here, jump on. It's so cash. I really love it. He's like,
I'm fucking off.
So talk amongst yourselves. Tony, if you can hear me and you're still here. Because if I were Tony, I'd be going, well, hang on, is this another hour paid? I'll do it. Yeah. I'm happy to miss my bus if this is I can invoice for another hour.
He sat there looking at the Greyhound and the just pulling up outside the arena. He's like, I need to know now.
I just need to know what if I'm invoicing for. Like
time and a half?
Because Eric
time and a half. Double time and a half.
Because Eric Gittle, technically I've already done like a quarter of the hour. So it's not a full hour, we'll pay you. But like we'll pay you something for like, what's your Greyhound ticket? What's about
$8? Do you want some Slim Jims?
Repay your Greyhound ticket. Get you some Slim Jims. We'll cover your travel fee. We'll put you on another Greyhound. We'll put you in the Marriott.
So naturally, you're thinking, okay, they're in the Marriott. Eric's livid that he's paying for cheeseburgers. This is because that's why we've got the not anymore every time. Because WCW is paying for everything now. But you think naturally, Eric, NWO, that's going to become a thing at the end of this episode. They're going to somehow, Eric's going to go there full of fucking piss and vinegar and get angry at them.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Yeah.
In the ring, Arn Anderson in action. Alas, some good fucking food. Facing Chris Jericho.
Yeah, like actually some good wrestling.
Mammoth, the instrumental plays. Chris Jericho to the ring, always a joy. Tony's back on commentary. He didn't get on the Greyhound.
Yes.
A nice technical showcase. Woman giving Jericho a slap at one point on the outside that turns the tide. And Arn actually earlier in the night put Chris Jericho over as like, I'm in there with like one of the hottest young talents that we've got and I need your focus tonight. I'm like, that's great.
The lion salt to landing on the feet just before the finish is great as well. Like just sort of changing it midair like, whoop.
Love that. Arn wearing down Jericho as Elizabeth watching on a monitor just ends up just walking off.
Yeah, so Liz just storms off, but she doesn't come out. So no. You think she's going to maybe come out? But no, she doesn't appear.
She's just gone. Jericho lands his trademark diving forearm, but out of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen him hit that flying forearm many times in wrestling, but not over the top rope. It was great.
It's delicious.
As you say, a lion salt attempt is dodged, and Arn just fucks him right off with the fucking DDT.
Yeah, and that's
Shut
it.
Up.
Ba-boom.
Ha-ba-boom. He does the best DDT.
It's just snap. Snap explosivity. Arn Anderson, man.
Just so good. Arn picks up the win, but Jericho looks really good here.
Yeah.
I think he's a future undisputed world champion.
We'll
I think
see.
He will tie that legacy of 1905 all the way back from Pat O'Connor to the modern era.
And then we'll just do away with it.
And then we'll never mention, we'll never let darken our door again.
And some bloke from the Smashing Pumpkins will dig it out the ground and crack on.
NWO t-shirt commercial, buy the shirt!
This one not paid for by WCW.
No, this is just this is like an advert they just got in rotation.
Still going on.
During the break, Liz, with her bags over her shoulder, is leaving. She has a mysterious piece of paper in her hand.
Like, if you're watching now, she's like walking along like this. With like a roll of paper in her hand. Nobody knows what it is.
I'm sure we'll find out by the end of the night. The stars are shining tonight. It is Michael Wall Street coming to the ring to face Lex Luger.
That's what you want.
Lex Luger's probably the biggest star of the night so far. And you can tell because he gets a big reaction. People are like, at last, some good fucking food. Luger. Crowd are asking, where's Rando? Sorry, the commentary are asking, where's Rando?
Yeah, they're saying, like, it's got to be trouble. If Savage isn't here, he's not just going to not show up, right?
A really boring as fuck match.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on this match? Because I didn't make a lot other than the finish.
There's a nice bit where Wall Street yeets Lex to the floor early on.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
Rack.
We go back to commentary who are sort of trying to dig their way out of the hole that they've dug themselves into with Sting.
Oh, so hang on. Luger wins with the rack on Michael Wall Street. Thanks for that. And you're right. Commentary are trying.
We're so sorry, Sting.
But you know what? Because tonight is all about good ideas.
Yeah.
Sags, I know how to win the NWO over. Look at me, I'm an innovation.
Talking anus.
WCW gone, oh man, we really upset Sting. We could offer him a pay increase, maybe a new role in the company.
How about we give him 3 weeks off, paid vacation, send him and the wife, you know, I don't know if he's got any bends by this point, but him and the wife, send them away on a nice carnival cruise, you know.
That'd be nice, yeah, do that. No, don't worry, lads, we've got a better idea, right? As a goodwill gesture for Sting, they have dressed up ahead of the Bush Grand National car race. They have dressed up the WCW car with Sting's face.
I'd like it if Sting just came out and they were expecting him to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. He's like, actually, I don't like cars. I think this is very harmful to the planet. I'm more of a fan of angling, which you simpletons would refer to as fishing. Yeah. And just mic drop, fucks off.
Bischoff goes, knew he'd hate the car.
You fucking, what are you doing?
Fucking knew he'd say.
Did you ask me? No, you went straight to Tay. You trying to undermine me, you fucking prick. Sting's a motorbike man.
It's the fucking sincerity. Sting, we're so sorry. We put your face on a car.
Please come back, baby. Please, we love you.
And I can imagine Sting watching going, fuck that, I want a bonus and time off at Christmas.
Yeah, just give me
a fucking car.
Shoot me 10 grand, 25 grand, we'll call it quits.
Why am I 20 grand? Yeah. I'll be back in no time.
Western Union, you can do it instantly.
Fuck it, that's just a... I get, right? You want to advertise the Bush Grand National and you've got a car, that's lovely. Don't fucking tie it in to go, by way of apology, Sting.
Can you imagine?
We've got your car with your face on. You can't drive it. No, a professional has to drive it.
If it was, and you're also going to be doing the race.
Oh.
So Sting's got to learn how to drive properly.
What a stressful prize. No, I'll just stay away.
Or he's got to sit there the entire time, weighing the car down. Everybody else just has one driver, and he's just the entire time being forced to wave.
And all the while,
there's a staffer with a stick and it's sellotaped to his arm, and Sting just gives up after a while, and they're just moving his arm for him. And it's just sort of looking less and less enthusiastic as he's just like.
But Eric Bischoff, like your nervous parents at Christmas keep going, hey, you like your present then?
Hey, you like it?
You like your present? Yeah, it's great. It's
honestly, fine. Eric, I would have preferred fucking socks.
I'd take fucking cash, mate. Yeah. Cash equivalent or whatever that is. I'll have the cash equivalent of that Grand National car, please. Anyway, and also put the Bush Grand National. I thought that was horses. WCW were cheating with a car.
Now, we've had a lot of shit tonight.
We certainly have.
But I think it's going to reach unprecedented levels right about now.
This
might be one of the worst matches we've ever reviewed.
Fuck, this is something else. The Faces of Fear, Barbarian and Haku.
And I love the Faces of Fear. You know, they're a bit of a schlock fest, but they're a bit of a throwback in that regard, and I like that kind of wrestling sometimes.
They're in there with the Rock and Roll Express.
Who are also a throwback.
They are a throwback.
They're still a throwback.
Throw them back. The crowd are dead as a doornail. I don't blame them. I'd be fuming.
They just got to see a car. What more do they want? Cleveland, Ohio. Sting. They're stuck up fuckers.
But that's it as well to go, we want to send an apology to Sting. So Sting, here's a car with your face on.
You know the shithole on the lake that I just said this city was? We've put your face on a car in the shithole on a lake. Surrounded by people that have congealed around the shithole on a lake.
We think, that's what we think of you.
Yeah.
This car.
You are basically a winnet on the arsehole that is...
Winnet?
That is Cleveland, Ohio. That's what they've said to him. And the good people of Cleveland. Which, if we've got anybody out there listening in Cleveland, I really want to go to Cleveland.
Well, there you go. The mistake on the lake.
Yeah, I don't want to put up with the abuse that Larry's throwing out there.
No way. You want to go there and find Sting's car and write cock piss Borden on it?
You see it on telly with Kook Pass Borden.
Bloody NWO.
This match is boring as balls. Meng tries to use a referee to stop him from getting sunset flipped. The ref pushes him off and nobody gives a flying fuck.
This match is essentially copy-paste. So it's three strikes, slam, pin attempt. On the pin attempt, Gibson breaks it up every time on one or two. Rinse, repeat, 17 times. It is not the finest showing for either of these teams. They're both capable of so much more.
This match is so bad that commentary just start making jokes
about
the NWO just to amuse themselves. I made a note of Heenan's jokes.
All right.
What do you call Hogan buried up to his hand in sand? Buried up to his head in sand.
What?
Not enough sand.
Right.
What do you call the NWO in cement boots at the bottom of the sea?
What?
Waste of cement.
And then not even Heenan's finest hour.
He goes, I can see Hogan wearing something black and brown, a Doberman. Like a big dog jumping on him.
Hogan just opens a present and just, wah, just latches onto him. It's like Rick Martel, right, in the blindfold match. There's a point where he gets to Damien, and part of me always wanted him to get Damien, throw Damien out, and then just have the visual of Damien just turn around and go straight up to his fucking face and just take him out. Like
a javelin fired at him.
He just opens his box and a Doberman explodes out of the box and just latches onto Hogan's face. It's like it's got the Rey Mysterio entrance like lift.
Who's that jumping out the dog? I mean, if that happened on this Nitro, but then something happened later on that's now made me go, maybe that's where they were going with it. Put a pin in it. Morton and Gibson go for Jimmy Hart. Morton gets Savat kicked for the three. Thank fuck this is over. As you say, a pretty miserable outing for all involved.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, because the Public Enemy run out and make the save for the Rock and Roll Express. We're going to get beaten up by the Faces of Fear. But they reverse the attack and they beat up Johnny Grunge, particularly focusing on his leg.
Yeah, because he's got a bad leg.
And this puts them in doubt for Halloween Havoc, where they're meant to defend the World Tag Titles against Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
I don't know we can cope, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I think that we need a break from the in-ring action.
The following announcement is paid for by the New World Order.
Not anymore.
Back to the NWO Marriott.
Knobs has got some knob-shaped food in his mouth.
He's eating all the picky food.
He is. He's eating all the knob-shaped food.
Ted's on the phone going, where's our champagne? It's so shit. It's so shit.
Isn't this the one where we cut back to it and... Is this the one? Yeah, so this is the one where we cut back to it and Hogan's just got Nick on his knee and they're talking about... I didn't even know what the fuck they were talking about.
They were talking about the other member of the NWO who has now joined them in NASCAR driver Kyle Petty.
Oh, yeah, he sat awkwardly on the end of the couch.
And he's saying, and again, not being a dick, this is what he was saying. He was talking about how much his son Nick likes fast cars.
Just leave that one there again.
You couldn't make it up. And that's why Carl Petty has joined the NWO. Both Nick and Carl look as delighted about it as you'd expect. I don't know why Ted on the phone going, where's our champagne? Whilst Nobbs eats picky tea. It's just like, what message are you sending him?
Nobbs has got like a platter as well. He's got like the entire platter just on his lap and he's just got handfuls of food. It's like, it's very chaotic.
I also noticed at one point, either in this one or the next one, where the camera pans away and you realise they're in a massive suite.
Yeah.
Like sprawling.
But they're sat in a corner.
They're all sat on the smallest sofa. Like, crammed in. Like, spread out a bit, lads. Go stand near the bar.
No, we like sitting on each other's knees,
Tom.
We
just like to be close.
It's the secret of the NWO. This is just the limousine again, but, you know, in a hotel room.
And that's the whole segment, basically. It's Ted going, the champagne's nearly here, lads. And everyone going, hey! Yeah.
Following announcement was paid for by the New World Order.
Not anymore.
Right, I love this. We come back from break. And it's a wide shot. They've obviously come back from break early. Because you know Wildcat Willie? Is that the mascot for WCW?
Yeah.
As they come back, you see Wildcat Willie fucking bombing it up the ramp.
I love that Wildcat Willie was acceptable for the live audience, but not the home audience. It's like a dirty secret. Yeah. They signed him to like a 5-year deal and it's like, we got to use him.
It's like he's been...
cheating. Just fucking running at top speed on the ramp. Get him out of sight immediately.
Somewhere Bischoff's just having a fucking complete angry meltdown.
Because, yeah, that's the worst problem you've got tonight.
Who let the fucking Wildcat out there?
Get him off our screens.
There's still a main event to go. Are you trying to tire the crowd out?
I've never seen somebody wearing a costume run so fast. Like, I thought I was expecting to fall over and his head
was
roll
he
off.
Onto his head as he ran?
I think he might. I guess he would have to have been. I just remember seeing his legs just going fucking nine to the dozen up the ramp.
Oh, delicious.
God love him. Chris Benoit with Mongo and Debra.
Her husband was in the NFL.
A-N-F-L. He's facing Rick Steiner, who was not in the ANFL. The main event, apparently. Fuck me, what an intro. We get a commercial for Halloween Havoc. Thank you. Slim Jim Halloween Havoc.
Sponsored and brought to you by Slim Jim. Sorry, don't murder us, Slim Jim, man.
Please don't kill us, Keith Slim Jim. The Outsiders will face Harlem Heat. Hang on. Weren't the Outsiders challenging for the tag titles? Why are they just facing Harlem Heat? Well, basically, there's going to be some to and fro with the belts that
don't
make this...
Don't dig too much.
Someone's fucked up, basically.
The first Rumble, the untelevised 12-man Rumble was like the winner gets a title shot at Hogan and the Rumble's like the last thing on the night. Halfway through the night, the fucking in-house compere is on the mic and he's like, and of course next month we'll be back with One Man Gang versus Hulk Hogan.
Oh, shit.
It's like, I'm a fucking idiot.
You'd kill someone, wouldn't you? Yeah. Nice nod on commentary for Rob Wright, who's a production guy in WCW who's leaving soon.
Yeah.
He used to work for WWF. He, in terms of his credits on IMDb, he put together the first Slammy Awards in 1989.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what he went on to go and do, but I wish him well.
They speculate he might be going to the NWO quickly, and it's like, no.
Yeah, go sit in that fucking tiny hotel room.
They got room service, though.
The champagne's
Booker
nearly...
T has to order his food to himself. Right? They don't even have room service at WWE commentary. Fuck knows what production eat.
Could you imagine if we lived in the era where fucking Deliveroo was around? I reckon for a fact Bischoff and Heenan would be ordering fucking food all night.
Oh, yeah. Bastian Booger would be a hell of a gimmick.
He'd be fucking wild.
Stop in mid-match and some guy comes down on a little moped, delivers his food. He's got to check through it. And then he kind of gets rolled up and gets pinned. But then afterwards, he doesn't give a shit about losing. He gives a fuck because they forgot his dip.
They pile drives the delivery driver.
Just pile drives the delivery driver after dropping a massive elbow on all the sauces they did provide.
Oh.
None of which are correct.
Incorrect sauce elbow. Benoit's got most of this early on, but a beefy power slam by Rick does turn the tide. Debra distracts Nick Patrick for a long time, whilst Mongo jumps in the ring with the briefcase and cracks Rick Steiner in the back.
Hello, Nick Patrick. My name's Debra. Did you know that my husband...
Yes?
Steve Mongo McMichael, him over there with the briefcase getting into the ring, right behind
it.
You.
He's going to say it.
And he's about to... Oh, he's cracked him with the case, yet he was in... The NFA.
Hey! Say the line!
Crowd goes wild. Say the line, Debra.
ANFA. Yay! And that is that. We sign off, but
trash
not...
Trash is thrown as well.
Yeah. They are livid, this crowd. They chuck rubbish in the ring as soon as it goes off air.
I think keep bullshit in the crowd. Keep promising big shows. Don't deliver. It's only going to end well. Hogan is on the show if you're watching at home.
So fuck coming to the arena. Just stay home and watch it.
Savage is on the show in advert form. If you're watching at home.
That's the message that is sent.
Yeah.
Don't come to the show.
My dad wouldn't take us to WCW house shows for this reason. Because it's like, oh yeah, like fucking this has happened. He was on TV last week, but now he's injured. And then the week afterwards, he's fine. He just didn't want to wrestle. Okay.
Madness.
Like just shit like that.
That's the end of the wait. Oh, wait, it's not the end of Nitro. The following fucking announcement has been paid for by the New World
for
Order.
For one last time. Not anymore.
Right, as if you couldn't get any more people in this tiny corner of the Mario.
And they are now spilling into each other.
They're fucking pouring into each other.
It's like the end of Akira. It's like everything's just moulding into one. And it's only a matter of time until they start like sucking in the TV.
And Liz... is sat in the middle of them all.
Traitorous woman.
The meat in an NWO sandwich. she is sat between Giant and Hogan. And, okay, he's either getting her to join the NWO or trying to get her to sign up to do films.
So she's got a contract in her hand. So it looks like maybe the NWO's offered her some form of contract. But he's trying to sweeten the deal is how I kind of saw it. I saw it as him trying to sweeten the deal with her because Giant's going on, well, I've already done like two roles and I've got all this other stuff lined up and I'm going to be doing like another movie and like he's got all the contacts. And Hogan's like, yeah, you know, I can hook you up with this and that and, you know, you can be in films. And so it feels like he's trying to do the hard sell on Liz. And Liz is still very unsure. She sat there kind of like clutching the folded over paper like, oh. And then the door goes, everybody's cracking jokes. It's all just a fucking mess.
Vincent appears from the door and he has a present.
Yeah, a big present. I wonder what's in there.
Fucking, I was begging for it to be a fucking Doberman. This is for you, Hogan. Is this going to be...
Virgil, you're fucking...
Stop bringing... For the third time,
you're supposed
Virgil.
To be security. Open it over there.
For the third time, stop bringing us Doberman. What's in the gift? Is it something to warn the NWO? Is it a Doberman? Is it a snake? We'll never fucking know.
Door goes again. No, everybody's so distracted by the gift. Liz gets up to go answer the door. And when she gets to the door, dun, 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 there's nobody there. Not even Eric Bischoff.
Fucking no one's there. So Liz,
we leave. Hear them opening the present and like, in a hotel suite? And that's all you hear when they open the present.
And as Liz decides to take her leave,
she sees it as her opportunity to get the fuck out of there.
She's gone. She's running up the corridor. And all of a sudden, who comes bombing down the corridor at this point? Fucking Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
Who is livid.
One could only think he's had to check all of the Marriotts in the city to not know where the fuck the NWO are.
So many Marriotts in Cleveland.
But he kind of runs into Liz and then he's like, what the fuck? And he's sort of confused by the whole thing. And then he just starts shouting, son of a bitch, Liz, rambling, son of a bitch, get out. What are you doing here, son of a bitch? And then he sort of like leaves Liz as she tries to walk away. And then he just heads toward the hotel room. But that's all the time we got for this one, folks. You think you were getting some storyline here?
Not anymore.
This was a fucking turgid episode of Nitro.
It was a turd.
It was a turd of a Nitro. Do you know what? This is one of those Nitros where, in their heads, I bet they thought they were fucking brilliant.
The thing is,
I bet they thought this was great content.
But part of me also thinks it's a terrible Nitro, and it would have been a terrible Nitro at the time. But are we just jaded at this point?
No. I don't think it's because we're jaded.
Because the show going off the rails, everything being fucking mental. I think the actual in-ring was terrible. Like, that can't be denied.
It's but, the fact that the wrestling aspect of the show has taken such a back burner.
Yeah, like, for a hardcore wrestling audience as well.
With WWF, all the action is based around the wrestling.
Yeah.
The stories are happening because matches are happening, and because matches are happening, stories are happening.
But I don't know
why... wrestling is the wallpaper.
It's got to be contractually, you know, somebody was away, they couldn't make X, Y, or Z happen. Spoilers, it was probably Hogan. But, like, for me, if you could have done this backstage, right, because Nasty Boys went back to their suite last week. Like, so, for me, it's sort of like, if you could have done this backstage, revealed the Nasty Boys as being in the room with them, had them in the arena, then we could have seen some of this play out maybe on camera. But at the same time, it's almost like NWO feel like they're too cool to even go on the show. So part of me feels like I'm looking back at that aspect of it maybe a little too critically because it wasn't really done much at the time. But when you then look at the in-ring side of it, it was shocking.
I wouldn't mind if there was some sort of grand design or payoff to these bits at the Marriott, but there wasn't. Nothing.
Like, Eric didn't show up. Like, where the fuck's Eric gone? Like, is he literally just on the blow at a Ted going, where is everybody? Did you see it? Any of the airline tickets didn't get used?
Watching this, writing a strongly
worded email.
And Ted's
like, I'm trying to fucking like manage a multinational corporation here, Eric. Can you just put out your own fires, mate? Click.
Basically.
But it's like, I thought we were going to get maybe Bischoff trying to go to the hotel and getting accosted, or I wasn't expecting Liz. to be sort of the factor, but it's kind of, and then we go off air before anything good happens with Savage. Savage goes barreling into the room and then just sits down calmly, picks up a nice sandwich, and they all have a natter about wrestling when the camera's cut. Like we didn't even see Savage going ape shit and getting beaten down by them. Like, I don't.
It was a rubbish episode of Nitro. But we thank you for watching it with us. Two more left for 2023.
Yeah.
And then we're going to wrap for the year. And then we can now officially reveal, if you haven't heard already, on Christmas Day, the Cultaholic Classic Christmas Special returns.
I haven't even looked at the script yet.
I wrote the script in 5 hours.
I might just leave it till the day.
Matthew's doing the same thing.
Yeah. I might just leave it till the day so it's extra confusing.
Excellent. But that will be... It'll be slightly different to ones we've done previously, but still like easy.
What date is this going out?
This one is going out. Well, if you're listening to this today, today's date is Thursday the 30th of November.
Okay, well, in 4 days, the first part of the mega crazy fucking project that myself, Matt Stewart, and Justin Henry have been working on for nearly 2 years goes live on the channel, and it'll be weekly. From the 4th all the way up to Christmas.
Do you want to reveal it now or should we reveal it in the news tomorrow morning?
Fuck it. We'll reveal it now. It's called The Golden Age. So it deals with the WWF from the Vince buyout in 1982 to the death of the Golden Age and the arrival of the new generation era. It's by far the most detailed thing we've ever done. It's a massive, massive deep dive and retrospective. So the listeners of this, you are the first to hear the good news if we haven't teased it so far publicly. But yes, please watch it. Please tell everybody you know to watch it because, oh my God, it's been quite the undertaking.
It's been a hell.
There's a lot of 3D in it as well. So enjoy.
Oh yeah. Man, look at that. worth trudging through that episode of Nitro to get that bit of gold at the very end. Fucking hell, I'm so excited.
It's going to be class.
I cannot wait to see it. I've heard all about it, but I'm
very excited to see how people receive it. But yeah, check it out.
Yeah, boy, that'll be on the YouTube channel. And for the latest wrestling news as well throughout the day, check out cultaholic.com. He's at TheSamDriver on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell. We're together. We're off for Piggy Tea at Marriott.
This one. Not anymore.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.